This is the Schnitt Show.
By now, most of you probably know that we've just had another incident at the U.S. Capitol and another Capitol police officer is dead. I mean, Jesus. I mean, this is unbelievable. On this Good Friday, here in 2021, you look at what's happened with the Capitol Police. Of course, the insurrection, and still there's a lot to unfold with the insurrection and the lack of preparedness and the attack, the intel, who knew what. But what just has happened here, and I'll play audio from a press conference just held moments ago with the acting chief of the Capitol Police, as well as the chief of the Metropolitan Police, which is the Washington, D.C. local police department. But look at what's happened with the Capitol Police. During the insurrection, we saw what happened. We had one officer dead, 130 injured between the Capitol Police and the D.C. police. So one officer dead from the insurrection. And then we had another officer die today. And then there were two Capitol Hill police officers that committed suicide in the aftermath of the Capitol riot. My God, here's what we know. We have a perp that rammed into Capitol police officers, rammed his car into a barricade, then exited his vehicle with a knife, and then this suspect was then taken down by the Capitol Police. They shot and killed the suspect. They don't think this is terrorism related. The suspect apparently unknown to the Capitol Police. So there's a lot to unfold here as well as to why this maniac did this. All right, let me roll the audio. This literally happened 20 minutes ago. 25 minutes ago. At 2:42 p.m. Eastern Time. 2:42 p.m. Eastern Time, a presser was held on Capitol Hill outdoors with law enforcement. And I want to play the audio. First, we'll hear from the acting chief of the U.S. Capitol Police. And I have the whole presser. It didn't last long. The whole thing is queued up. And this is what we know. And this is where we also found out that one of the officers, one of the Capitol Hill police involved in this, has died. All right. This is the acting chief of the Capitol Hill Police. All right, listen to this entire presser, and I'll start and stop and break in. Here we go.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Acting Chief Yogananda Pittman for the United States Capitol Police. It is with a heavy heart that I come here this afternoon to shed some light on the incident that occurred at the United States Capitol.
The supplemental guard has arrived at South Barricade.
At approximately 1:02 hours this afternoon, a suspect entered what we refer to as the North Barricade of the Capitol. The suspect rammed his car into two of our officers and then hit the North Barricade barrier.
All right, so it appears, and again, this is the acting chief, this is Yogananda Pittman, Capitol Police. The suspect hit two Capitol police officers first and then rammed into this metal barrier, this metal barricade, which I believe this is one of these barricades which can be raised and lowered to allow traffic in, and the car smashed into the barricade. With the video that's come out, you can see the front end damage to the vehicle. All right, let's listen back to the acting chief. Here we go.
At such time, the suspect exited the vehicle with a knife in hand. Our officers then engaged that suspect. He did not respond to verbal commands. The suspect did start lunging toward U.S. Capitol Police officers, at which time U.S. Capitol Police officers fired upon the suspect. At this time, The suspect has been pronounced deceased. Two U.S. Capitol Police officers were transported to two different hospitals. And it is with a very, very heavy heart that I announce one of our officers has succumbed to his injuries. We are not able to release any information, names, age, date of birth, or anything of that nature at this time, because we still have to notify the next of kin.
I mean, this is unbelievable. Here, another case where we have a police officer showing up for work, another Capitol cop showing up for work on this Good Friday, 2021, and he's not going home to his family, or she is not going home to her family. We don't know the gender yet. Let's continue listening to the chief.
I just ask that the public continue to keep U.S. Capitol Police and their families in your prayers. This has been an extremely difficult time for U.S. Capitol Police after the events of January 6th and now the events that have occurred here today. So I ask that you keep our U.S. Capitol Police family in your thoughts and prayers. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to the Metropolitan Police Chief, Mr. Robert Conte, for the Metropolitan Police Department's portion of this investigation. Thank you.
All right, so now she's stepping back, and here comes the D.C. Police Chief, Chief Conte.
Good afternoon. I'm Robert Conte, Acting Chief of the Metropolitan Police Department. Our members responded to the U.S. Capitol today just after 1 o'clock p.m. To investigate an officer-involved shooting. At this time, the Metropolitan Police Department's Homicide Division, as well as our Internal Affairs Division, will now take over the investigation with respect to the shooting death that occurred, as well as the officer's death. There's not a lot of information that we can release to the public at this time, but we certainly will be working very closely with our partners at the Park Police, at the U.S. Capitol Police. At this time, I just want to extend my deepest condolences on behalf of the entire Metropolitan Police Department to all of the officers at the United States Capitol Police for their service and unfortunately for the loss of life that have occurred here today at the United States Capitol Police.
All right, now they're going to take some questions here.
What can you tell residents that live here as well as folks that work in this area?
At this time, it does not appear to be an ongoing threat. Obviously, we're in the very early stages of our investigation. We need to obviously understand the motivation behind this senseless act. So the Metropolitan Police Department will certainly be doing that.
I know you said the suspect was dead, sir. Any reason to know that he was known to Capitol Police or MPD beforehand? Any indication that he was somebody that had been around the Capitol before, maybe spotted, anything like that?
It does not appear that he is known to the Capitol Police or the Metropolitan Police Department at this time.
Is this a terrorism-related,
sir?
Is this a terrorism-related incident?
It does not appear to be terrorism-related, but obviously we'll continue to investigate to see if there's some type of nexus along those lines.
Will yes. National Guard posture change at all? What's their mission look like the next couple of days?
I'll refer that to the United States Capitol Police.
Chief, did the suspect say anything or yell anything at the time?
I would say that at this time, the investigation is still in its preliminary stages, so we don't have that information.
I mean, this just happened 2 hours ago. This is fresh. It happened, you heard, at 1300 2 hours, you know, just after 1 o'clock Eastern time.
And the Capitol Police, as far as its security posture, remains in a steady state at this time. We are very thankful for our National Guard partnership. We do have National Guard on the campus, but the security posture at this time remains the same.
Yeah, by the way, the D.C. National Guard, they deployed immediately a QRF, a quick response force, and there was a significant D.C. National Guard presence that immediately went into the Capitol building just as a precaution, and all this happened outside the Capitol building on the road.
You said that obviously the motive, you're still looking at the motive. I understand that. Any reason to believe that there was any specific target of member of Congress? Was there a specific member of Congress that the suspect may have been trying to go after? Any indication who that may have been?
Now, they're not in session right now, but let's listen to the response here.
That was good.
We do not have the suspect on file with U.S. Capitol Police, so there's no indication at this time that there is any nexus to any member of Congress.
Can you speak also to
the any other kind of motive?
Yes, ma'am.
Drugs or alcohol involved? Do you believe you found any of that in the car?
We cannot confirm that, but the investigation is ongoing.
I believe the reporter asked if there was any alcohol found in the car.
The suspect did exit the vehicle with a knife in hand, and at that time he started to lunge toward, run aggressively toward U.S. Capitol Police office. No, that part of the investigation is still ongoing. The scene is still being processed by Metropolitan Police Department, so we will have additional information at a later time.
Did the suspect ever
come in contact? I know you mentioned the lunge, but did the suspect come in contact and wrestle with the police officer there?
The investigation is ongoing. From what we can see from video at this time, I do not see the suspect wrestling with a U.S. Capitol Police officer, but when he exited the vehicle, the knife was clearly in his hand, and he did start to run toward the officer.
Yeah, I mean, it appears that the suspect got out of the car after ramming two officers, hitting the metal barricade, exiting the vehicle with a knife, and then lunging or running toward the Capitol Police officers. And that's apparently when they opened fire and they took out the perp here, the suspect.
So at this time, this is all the questions that I am going to take. I turn it back over to Metropolitan Police Department's chief. Again, I ask you to please keep the United States Capitol Police family in your thoughts and prayers at this time. It has been an extremely difficult and challenging year for us, but we will get through this, and we do appreciate the community support.
The second
Thank
officer,
you.
Can you tell us the second officer? Situation?
Hey, folks, we understand that you guys have a lot of questions. Obviously, this is a complex investigation. We are going to be putting out more information as we can on social media, and if we decide to do any more briefings later on, we'll of course let you guys
can
know
you
right away.
On the second
Thank
officer?
You.
Chief Conti, can we ask you one more question?
They're going to ask the D.C. chief another question here.
The grand fabric of all of this, USCP has changed their intelligence, the way they're sharing it. They've been doing what they can to try to beef up the security here, and still they're under attack. What is the answer?
Yeah, well, I think, just part of our responsibilities and duties as law enforcement officers, we're here to protect and serve community. Clearly, this was someone who was actively trying to just get at whoever or whatever. We just don't know right now. So we have a responsibility to investigate that, to get to the bottom of this, whether the attack was at law enforcement or whoever. We have a responsibility to get to the bottom of it, and we'll do that. Thank you.
All right, so there you go. That concluded the press conference. I just played the whole thing in its entirety, the first contact that law enforcement, U.S. Capitol Police, as well as the local police, the Metropolitan Police in D.C., as to this incident at the Capitol where one officer is dead, another is hospitalized, and the suspect is dead, ramming his car into two officers, Capitol Hill officers, hitting the barricade, getting out of his vehicle, lunging at them with a knife, and then obviously they open fire and the suspect is deceased. Now, there's a lot more to find out here, and hopefully as the afternoon unfolds, we'll be able to bring you some more details. I was not planning on opening up the show with this today. I was planning on opening up with, and I told you I was going to do this yesterday, that we were going to do an unraveling. We're going to do a deep dive into the whole Georgia voting law and what's going on involving major U.S. corporations like Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines. There's a mess in Georgia. You know, could the All-Star game with a regular Major League Baseball season that kicked off yesterday and a full 162-game season planned, now there are threats that the All-Star game could be yanked out of Atlanta, where it's set to occur this summer at the Braves Stadium. All right, hold on to that thought. We're going to get into Georgia. It's a loaded Friday, folks, here on Schnitt. 800-801-8999, 800-801-8999. We will dissect the Georgia voting situation next. Back in a minute, folks.
This is Schnitt.
Show. All right, we will keep our eyes on the Capitol situation with one officer dead. We'll watch this all afternoon. In just minutes, after we get back from the bottom of the hour break, I want to jump into the whole Georgia voting law situation, kind of unravel this whole thing, and give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, a lot of chatter here on Georgia Senate Bill 202. It's an omnibus bill. It was passed last week. Sweeping changes are brought to the state's voting laws. 98-page bill. And concerns have been raised over voter suppression among Democrats in Georgia. While Republicans who control the state government, they maintain that the changes are necessary to restore faith in the voting system following all of the controversies that consumed the 2020 election, especially in the state of Georgia. So, where do I stand? Where does Schnitt stand? I stand right where I always stand. I stand on the side of truth and the facts. All right, first of all, there was no widespread or systemic voter fraud last November, either in Georgia or nationwide. I'm going to dive into the whole Georgia deal. And we'll do it next in minutes. Don't move. Back in a minute.
The Schnitt Show. On the Schnitt list every day at schnittshow.com.
And again, one officer killed, one officer has been injured in this new Capitol incident with a driver that rammed into Capitol Hill police and then rammed into a barricade, exited his vehicle, and then lunged at cops, ran at them with a knife. And that's when he was neutralized by Capitol Hill police, shot and killed. And in the process of the individual ramming police with his car, one officer has died. Trying to figure out, Sue, do we know whether the officer died from getting hit by the car or was the officer stabbed? Yeah, I didn't hear that yet as to any delineation. Welcome back to Schnitt, 800-801-8999. What a good Friday, huh? Unbelievable. There wasn't enough on January 6th. Hopefully we'll have some more information on this Looney Tune that decided to ram into Capitol Hill police and the barricade. All right, back to the Georgia situation and the Georgia voting law. Listen, I don't profess to be an expert. Let me be very clear. My executive producer, Sue, and myself, we do not claim to be experts. We've combed through everything that we can with this Senate bill in Georgia, looked at the provisions, and we've come up with interpretations of what we see. And we did a lot of research on this, and then I make decisions on what I think is right, what I think is wrong, and you know, to be quite honest, the Georgia law is a mixed bag. And as I said previously, I just care about the truth. I'm going to stand on the side of the truth and what we have uncovered. As I said before the break, in light of this new Georgia voting law, there was no systemic voter fraud back in November, either in Georgia or nationwide, the election was not stolen. Folks, yes, the 2020 presidential election, Joe Biden winning, Donald Trump losing, this election was not stolen. Didn't have the outcome that I wanted, at least in Joe Biden winning. But this was not stolen. And, you know, I've maintained, and I don't want to muddy the waters here, but I've maintained that Trump lost this election on his own. He did everything possible to wound himself, to give Biden an advantage here. Don't even get me started on that. Additionally, the loss of faith in the election system, the loss of faith in the election system in the country was primarily brought on by the false allegations steeped in these baseless conspiracies about a rigged election. And the election was not rigged. Now, since the conspiracies were false and these crazy claims were not true, they were lies, an argument could be made that the new Georgia law, which has been passed, that it seeks to fix a problem that doesn't exist, that never existed, but it has passed. It has been passed into law in Georgia, has been signed. It's law, signed into law by the governor. So the question is it as bad as is being described by some in the mainstream media and pundits? Well, if you look at the major provisions in the Georgia voting law, guess what? Some are fine. Some are a bit onerous. And a couple of the provisions are draconian. It is a mixed bag, and as critics have said, the law does impose some obstacles to voting. So what gives? How do we unravel this? It does give the Republican-controlled state government in Georgia new powers to assert control over the conduct of elections in Democratic-held counties in Georgia. But it also contains some provisions that can be reasonably described as pro-voting. And the critics have been quick to mischaracterize the text in some of those instances. Mixed bag, as I said. And we do have some misinterpretations here. One of the best, one of the most sensible aspects of this law mandates that if precincts of a certain size had lines of more than 1 hour in the previous general election or didn't complete voting by an hour after the official polls closed, that county officials have to reduce the size of the precinct or get more poll workers, get more voting equipment, or both. For the next election. I don't have a problem with that. There was extensive media coverage of initial GOP proposals to eliminate or sharply reduce early voting on Sundays when black churchgoers like to participate in the so-called souls to the polls and that so-called, so-named voting drive. Now, the idea sucked and deserved criticism. However, those proposals never made it into the law that was actually signed into law by Governor Brian Kemp, which actually ends up expanding early voting in many counties for primaries and general elections. But the expansion is almost entirely limited to small counties. We're talking about rural counties that tend to be solid red, not the larger counties with large urban centers, which tend to be more blue, more liberal, more Democrat. The law includes pretty strict new requirements for absentee ballots. very strict identification measures that are coming under assault, for instance. But to be quite honest, many of us think that those requirements should have been in place a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Wow, what a concept. Identification to prove who you are before you get to vote. Now, it shouldn't be considered a burden to provide adequate identification when you vote. Again, you've heard the arguments, you know, writing a check, you need ID. Going to buy alcohol, you need ID. I mean, we can go on and on and on. And I just don't think it's a burden to, whether you vote absentee or in person, for that matter, to have to identify yourself. So those provisions are something that nobody should be bitching about. Oh, and by the way, somebody should school the president. That's right. Somebody should school President Biden here. The law does not, as the president has said on numerous occasions, limit voting hours. University of Georgia political scientist Charles Bullock told the Washington Post, quote, "You can criticize the bill for many things, but I don't think you can criticize it for reducing the hours you can vote." In fact, the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, they had to correct their very own reporting that hours had changed. The hours have not changed. The polling hours will remain 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Now, can local authorities change hours when it comes to early voting? Well, in some cases they can. Early voting hours had changed in some places. Some of the early voting hours had been shortened. But as far as this this big hoop-de-doo that's been made over voting hours changed on a wholesale level, that's just not the case. And the Atlanta Journal-Constitution had to correct its own reporting. Voting hours have not changed. They still remain 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So President Biden probably needs to maybe listen to the Schnitt Show. How about that? But there are other measures that are more controversial here. Voters will have less time to request absentee ballots. Drop boxes will still exist, but in much fewer numbers, and they will be all placed indoors inside a precinct, which kind of defeats the purpose of having a drop box outside, making it more convenient to drop off your ballot. And in most cases, they will only be operational during the regular voting hours, which, well, that sort of, again, defeats a bit of the purpose there of having a drop-off ballot. So it's not terribly helpful there. Now, mobile voting centers have been almost entirely eliminated, banned. The Secretary of State has been removed as a voting member of the state election board, not in charge anymore. Interesting. The GOP-controlled state legislature in Georgia will now have control over the state election board, making it easier for the legislature to call audibles from the sidelines on election day or just after the election. The Republican-led legislature in the state of Georgia, not the governor, is now empowered to remove county elections officials if they deem necessary. And these new provisions have, of course, yet to be road tested, but you know, I believe it's easy to see that the state legislature has basically taken control of the elections in the state of Georgia. And ultimately, this is not the type of bill that can afford to include bad or unfair provisions. And as I said, the need for change at all is really unclear here. The governor of Georgia, as you know, is a Republican. The Republican Secretary of State and the Republican governor have both said that there was no election fraud found in any of the three statewide vote tallies, one, two, three times, all these audits. Nothing was found of any deviance, any deviation, any importance. I mean, just piddly stuff. And a lot of it is just flat out errors or mistakes. Whatever has been discovered, not fraud. Now, in November, the governor himself deposited his ballot into an outdoor drop box that has now been outlawed. Governor Kemp, he delivered his ballot to an outside drop box and can't do that next time around because that has been banned, outlawed. Now, voting in the state of Georgia is going to be, a little more difficult, just to, put it, squarely. It's going to be a little more difficult. Again, I told you I was going to unroll the good, the bad, and the ugly here. Then we get to the backlash that has occurred. And this involves some major corporations that are based in the state of Georgia. You've got Delta Airlines. You've got Coca-Cola. All right, what's going on there? What about threats against some of these companies? All right, hold on to that thought because I'm going to wrap this up and I'll bring you where we are as far as business, as far as the All-Star Game in Georgia coming in July. All right, hold on to that thought. We're going to put the bow on this thing next on Schnitt. Back in a moment, folks.
This is the Schnitt Show. The Schnitt List is on.
SchnittShow.com.
All right, now we get to the backlash of the new voting law in Georgia, and it's facing an onslaught of criticism. There are at least three major lawsuits that have been filed by civil rights groups. And politicians as high as President Biden are crying foul here, and not all of it is warranted. Like I said, there's some good, there's some bad, and there's some ugly in this thing. And we have a growing number of major U.S. corporations are, they're weighing in. They're expressing their thoughts. And all of these disparate groups are in unison saying that the law sets out to suppress the votes of minorities in Georgia. You've got officials from Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola. And, of course, both Delta and Coca-Cola are headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. They say that they had worked with elected officials from both parties to provide feedback during the legislative process here and that they will keep pushing to protect the right to vote. The Coca-Cola CEO and chairman is James Quincy, and James Quincy, he expressed his disappointment with the final legislation, this is yesterday, and vowed to work with stakeholders to advocate for a change in whatever they think is not right. He said, "Our focus is now on supporting federal legislation that protects voting access and addresses voter suppression. We all have a duty to protect everyone's right to vote, and we'll continue to stand up for what is right in Georgia and across the U.S. And again, this law is not as bad as some are making this out to be. Are there some issues? Yes. Is this Jim Crow 2.0? It is not. Now, the Delta CEO is Ed Bastian, and he called the final bill unacceptable. He wrote in an internal employee memo Wednesday that the entire rationale for the bill was based on a lie, that there was widespread voter fraud in Georgia in the 2020 election. I told you from the beginning, there was no widespread fraud. So really, I've questioned, did this bill really need to exist in the first place? He went on to say, after having time to now fully understand all that's in the bill, coupled with discussions with leaders and employees in the black community, it's evident that the bill includes provisions that make it harder for many underrepresented voters, particularly black voters, to exercise their constitutional rights. Are there problems? There are. And I pointed those out. And then there was a threat. Back in a minute.
The Schnitt Show.